Sina, all of us.
Welcome everyone to the Zena Neuber's podcast show, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 36. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Well, welcome back everybody. Hope everyone is doing great. It's getting closer to the holiday seasons now that we've surpassed Thanksgiving. Since they don't celebrate Thanksgiving here in Oz, my partner and I usually have a nice, small, quiet meal at home. She usually wishes me a happy Thanksgiving. I, personally, am just looking forward to this year being over with. I'm not in the Christmas mood this year, and neither is my wife. It kind of wears on you when you have to start putting Christmas decorations out on October, and you have to deal with it for over 3 months. I'm like, come on, give me a break. Anyway, as always, I find it hard to get into the mood when you're almost in 100 degrees plus humidity weather. Just something not natural about that. I am gradually getting fitter and fitter, and I'm hoping in a few more weeks that the doctor gives me all clear to start returning to a slow running and jogging program. I really do miss it. Yes, I'm one of those sadistic people who enjoys torturing themselves by running in all kinds of weather, dark 30 in the morning, like I used to say. I have a goal in mind, and as I get closer to achieving that, it's just motivating me even more. So we'll see how it goes. The yard work is going along at a reasonable rate, but it does look like the wedding is not going to happen as they've decided to go somewhere else closer to where there's the reception area. So that's okay. We still need to take care of our yard work and do things like that, so we're still working on it, but just now we don't have to have a restricted time limit unless we want to have it that way. My partner just watched Nina Heavenly Delight that I recommended on the last episode. She watched it on YouTube. She just got bored one evening and was doing work, and she watched it on YouTube, and she says it is absolutely fabulous movie to watch. So, if you haven't checked it out, get on YouTube and type in Nina's Heavenly Delights and go ahead and watch it like I recommended last time. In this week's episode, I don't have any movie recommendations, so I think I'll probably just hunt one down and give it to you before the end of the show and recommend something. The music for this one is, I even forgot what this music is. Hold on. Yes, that's Lee Nash, Need to Be Next to You. So, just had a brain freeze there for a minute. So that's the song snippet that you're on this show this time. We haven't had any new story suggestions, so if anybody's out there listening, go ahead and start sending in the story suggestions, because I'm starting to run low on stories after we run out of Melissa Goods. So, and I'm going to start asking more authors, start emailing more authors. So if you have any story that you want to recommend to see, to get her on the show, go ahead and send it on in. Okay, so I found a movie review for you for this week. It's called Treading Water on the Wolf video site, which you can check out on my blog. It gives you a link to the site. In the product description, it says, one of the best lesbian-themed indie films in the years. And the review says, Casey, Angela Redmond, has rejected a privileged upbringing and restores old boats for a living. She lives a cozy life with her beautiful social worker girlfriend, Alex, super sexy Nina Landley, until her stuffy family demands that she come home for Christmas without Alex. Casey's a longshorewoman who seems to have everything she wants. She and her girlfriend, Alex, are very much in love, but there's nothing like the holidays to bring out the drama of the average family. Casey lives just across the bay from her upper-crust New England family. The proximity seems no accident. Casey quite can't let go, despite her family's judgmental and inescapable hold on her otherwise independent and unconventional life. When the family reunites for Christmas, the unwrapping of presents takes back seat to the unraveling of emotions. Beautifully filmed in the New England coast, director Lauren Himmel uses great care to avoid stereotypes and cliches to fashion a tender, subtle, tense, and sometimes funny look at the repression and idea of a family. So that's what the movie sounds like, according to the review on Wolf Video. So have a look, check it out, and see what you think. Now on with the show. As we left off our two girls in the new storyline by Melissa Good, A Matter of Pride, a newcomer to town wants to come in and try to be either a soldier or a weapons maker. After having passed out in front of Xena by her intimidation and no help from Gabrielle's coaxing of words, our two girls head off to find their daughter at a school and have lunch with her. Deciding on an impromptu night out, a little escapism from their hectic lives, Xena then proceeds to cater to their evening meal of fish, and Gabrielle sets it to cook while they then enjoy some leisure time swimming and reflecting on their lives. Meanwhile, back home, Cyrene, Xena's mother, had just given Jocelyn, one of the town reeves, a severe scolding over the town's utter reliance on Xena, and she then voiced her concern over Xena's state of mind recently to Taurus, Xena's brother. So that's where we left our girls off, and we continue on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. It was a scorching hot day after a long string of scorching hot days and muggy nights. They traveled across the sun-blanched scrub until late afternoon caught up with them as they trudged down a road more thin dust than anything else. Xena had resigned herself to just enduring it, walking along in silence next to Argo, while Gabrielle trailed along behind them, the girl's normally open and curious nature seemingly shut down by the heat and the grime and the weariness of the road. But then Argo's head had lifted, and the mare snickered softly. "What is it, girl?" Xena had asked, getting a brisk nudge in the rib towards the side of the road that sloped up a little. "What?" "Oh, all right." Xena dropped the reins and told Gabrielle to stay put, then climbed up in the shifting slope, using her hands to grab bits of grass to pull herself up. When she got into the top, she'd just seen more dust, more grass. She almost just turned and jumped down, but a gust of hot air had brushed across her senses, and her nose had detected what Argo's had moments before. Water. And at that moment, Xena had wanted nothing more on earth than to be out of her leathers and armor and rid of the dust that seemed to have caked every square inch of her body, including her tongue. So she turned around and leapt down, then strode over to where Gabrielle was bribing her horse with a bit of green grass she'd found somewhere. "Come on," she said brusquely. "There's water up there. Small pond or something."
"Water?"
Gabrielle had visibly squared her shoulders under their covering of dirt linen.
"Wow, that would be great. I really could use a drink, and I bet you could too, huh?"
She hadn't waited for an answer.
"And we could wash and have some soup. I think I've got some stuff we can make soup from, and..."
Xena had just started walking, leading Argo up a gentler path of the slope and trusting that Gabrielle would follow along, which, of course, she had. They cleared the small stand of trees and rounded a patch of tumbled-down boulders and found not the small pond Xena had predicted, but instead a deep, clear spring that gushed out of the rocks.
"Wow," Gabriella sighed. "I feel like I could drink all of that."
She wiped a dusty hand across her forehead, moving her fair hair back and leaving a smudge of dirt behind. After a month traveling with Xena, the road had knocked some of her bubbly enthusiasm off, and she regarded the water thankfully. "Well, if that's what you want, go on." Xena had dropped Argo's reins and pulled her saddle off, then unbuckled her armor and tossed it down on top of the horse's tack. "Help yourself." She pulled off her boots and hooked her leathers before she looked up at Gabrielle, who had her eyes firmly fixed on the rocks, a faint blush on her face. Xena had rolled her eyes, sparing an amused thought for her new friend's modesty. "I'm going swimming. You want to join me?" She stepped out of her leathers and chucked them, then jumped onto the rocks and dove in, exulting in the crisp cold of the water. When she surfaced, Gabrielle had removed her skirt and blouse and entered the water near the end of the spring. She watched as her young friend ducked her head under the surface and scrubbed the dust out of her hair, then straightened up with a look of almost pathetic relief.
"Feels good, huh?"
Xena had decided to spare a few words for the kid.
"It sure does,"
Gabrielle had responded.
"I don't think I'm used to being dirty all the time yet."
She paused and blushed.
"Not that... I mean, I don't want you to think you're,
Xena snorted softly.
"A pig?"
No, of course not.
Gabrielle had hastened to reassure her.
I mean, well, we're traveling all the time, and we sleep on the ground, mostly, and it's not like we keep a bathtub with us, and places like this don't really often, and... But I'll get used to it,
she finally finished in an earnest voice.
Really?
Oh, kid. Zena had sighed to herself. Give up and go home. Yeah, right. She just shook her head and swam to the side of the rocks, pulling herself out of the water and climbing up onto a shelf of granite just above it. She dove off again, and this time when she surfaced, Gabrielle was treading water uncertainly nearby. Not really a swimmer, are you? Zena had asked, wryly.
We didn't do much of that in Potidaea, no,
Gabrielle had admitted.
Or what you just did.
Zena had eyed her, realizing again the huge gulf between them. A sarcastic remark trembled on her lips, but as she was about to issue it, her eyes had met Gabrielle's unexpectedly, and she got hit broadside with that open, innocent, far too trusting look. What that didn't do to her, Zena had groaned inwardly. What in Hades was it about this kid? Well, come on, I'll show you how to do it. She swam over to the side and turned, glaring at Gabrielle until the girl started swimming awkwardly towards her. Refusing to either think about or rationalize what she was doing, Zena got up out of the water. Come on. She turned and offered a hand to Gabrielle. The girl had taken it hesitantly and scrambled out of the water with adolescent awkwardness to stand self-consciously at Zena's side, her still-growing body with its pale skin and light layer of puppy fat in stark contrast to the warrior's. Gabrielle had swallowed a few times, as she paused near the edge of the rocks.
I'm not sure I...
Come here. Zena had ordered, pointing to the rock next to where she was standing. When Gabrielle reluctantly obeyed, she bent her knees a little and held her arms over her head. Just do this and go in head first.
Head first?
Yes. It's not hard, Zena had told her with a touch of impatience. Just do this and jump, head first. She demonstrated, launching her body up and out in effortless arc, then cleaving the water cleanly and surfacing. Now, she ordered. Come on, just remember. Poor Gabrielle. Zena had seen the brow scrunch from where she was, as this girl threw first mental, then physical effort into the task. She'd taken a step, then leaped awkwardly into the air, trying her best to throw her body forward, as Zena had done. Zena had realized, halfway through the jump, that the girl was in trouble. Her body had tensed in sympathetic effort as she'd seen Gabrielle become disoriented in midair, her body frantically trying to compensate, and just not having the skill or strength to accomplish what was needed. She twisted over and landed on her back in the water, with a wild yell that made nearby birds scramble to flight and startled Argo. Zena lunged forward in pure reflex as Gabrielle fell, then only barely gotten out of the way as the girl's body plunged into the water next to her. She grabbed for Gabrielle, just as Gabrielle was panicking, and she was unable to avoid her frantic clutching. They'd both gone under, and as Zena used her greater size and strength to shoal off from the bottom, and then they ended up tangled together and nose to nose, drenched and breathing hard. Head first, Gabrielle! Zena had finally sighed, blowing the sodden hair out of her eyes with an impatient breath. Head first.
Hello? Anyone in there?
Zena looked up with a start, pulled out of her memories by Gabrielle's voice not a body length from her. The bard was standing in the waist-high water, hands on her hips, regarding her with bemusement. The gawking adolescent had disappeared completely, replaced by this attractive, self-confident young woman, whose cleanly sculpted body was clearly under her control. Sorry, the warrior gave her a quiet smile. I was just remembering the day I tried to teach you to dive.
Oh, God!
Gabrielle covered her eyes and laughed as she waded closer, ruffling Dory's hair with her free hand.
You have no idea how many weeks I stayed up at night, agonizing over that, and hoping I hadn't made you so disgusted with me that you just dropped me off at the next village we came to.
She slid into a seat on the submerged rocks next to Zena and took Dory.
What a little dork I was.
Nah. Zena draped an arm over her shoulder. You were never a dork. Right, Dory? Your mama's great, huh?
Yes!
Dory finished, mouthing a bit of rock she'd recovered from the bank. See? Gabrielle smiled.
Who can argue with that?
She gave Xena a gentle poke.
Race you?
Xena pushed the door to the home open and entered, cradling Dory in the crook of one arm. She set the toddler down and closed the door behind him, watching Dory amble over to hear her toy box with an indulgent look on her face.
Did you have fun today, Shorty?
Dory paused in the act of pulling out her favorite toy and sat down.
Yes,
she grinned.
Like fishy. Boo like fishy.
She hugged the toy to her, a ragged, almost formless doll, dressed in what might have been once a tiny leather outfit.
Go take Bitty Boo fishing, too.
Xena put down their gear and walked over, dropping down to crouch next to Dory.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think Bitty Boo can swim. She touched the doll, but Dory scowled and wrapped her arms around it.
You don't want the fishies to eat Bitty Boo, do you?
Dory pouted. Xena ruffled her hair and stood, moving over to start unpacking. She shook the furs out they'd slept on and took them into the washing room, slinging them over a wooden partition. Then she went back out into the cabin and removed the tools and gear, their flint and tinder, the good iron pan Gabrielle treasured for grilling fish just so, and the worn pot they made tea in. These last she ran her fingers over, smiling a bit over the memories they called up, before she opened the cedar trunk near the door and set them inside, where the rest of the traveling gear was neatly packed. Two more sets of sleeping furs, the rest of Gabrielle's carefully hoarded cooking kit, her camp tools, and the well-used hatchet she used for every night for firewood. Xena hefted the axe and checked the head, pleased that it still had its edge. At least one of us has, she remarked with an uneasy smile, then put the tool back down. Gabrielle's carry sack was there too, much mended and neatly stitched, the front and back covered with her partner's laboriously acquired talent for beadwork, which at first had looked formless to Xena's eyes, until she one day realized the pattern matched the one on her own armor. Xena chuckled, even now, thinking of it. She closed the chest and stood up with a sigh, pausing as she considered her next move. It was late afternoon, and she usually spent some time sparring with the militia about this time every day, just before dinner. Xena leaned on the windowsill and gazed out towards the barracks, the sound of grunting and the clash of weapons coming faintly to her ears. Not tonight, she murmured. It had been a long, active, wonderful day, and she had no pent-up energy to release, having spent it on hours of swimming, diving, and taking Dory for runs, and even a little hand-to-hand wrestling with Gabrielle. That was always fun. Xena found herself smiling at a pair of squabbling robins. For her size, Gabrielle was very tough and very strong, more so than most of the men in the militia, or even in the rest of Amphipolis for that matter. Her lower center of gravity and her fierce determination made her a formidable opponent. Even the Amazons treated her with a very healthy respect. Despite all that, she wasn't, truly, a true challenge for Xena, who, after all, was tough and strong all out of proportion to her actual size as well. She outweighed Gabrielle considerably and stood almost 3/4 of a foot taller than her partner. So that meant Xena had to continue to come up with ways to counter Gabrielle's inventive attacks that didn't involve merely body slamming her to the ground. Sometimes it was a matter of using speed. Sometimes she had to find a way to get inside her soulmate's guard, which was tough because her compact form didn't leave much in the ways of angles, where Xena's taller body did. So they'd tangle with each other, and scrap, and roll around, and it would almost always end with the same way, with Xena letting Gabrielle get a solid hold on her, then using her in intimate position to turn the bard's thoughts from fighting to loving. And that, Xena exhaled, was what she intended on doing tonight, instead of sparring. She had a nice, intimate dinner in mind, a bath and bedtime for Dory, then maybe a bath and bedtime for her and Gabrielle. Tomorrow was soon enough for her to get back to the business of running her army. Army. Xena never misidentified her force to herself, only to others. This group of soldiers, who were tabards bearing her hawk's head insignia, and followed her rule of law as any army. She was teaching them solid defensive strategy, true, but she was also teaching them how to be an innovative and aggressive attack force. And she knew every one of them, to a man or woman, would follow her out of Amphipolis to take on whatever target Xena could think of. It was very hatey feeling, and she was honest enough with herself to admit it. She liked it.
Boo!
Dory ambled over and whacked her in the back of the knees with her doll.
Come play!
Ah, paradoxes. The general of the army straightened and turned, putting her hands on her hips as she regarded her tiny assailant. Dory, that's not nice, she warned. You shouldn't hit people. A pout. Xena crouched down and put a finger on Dory's nose. At least not until you're big enough to learn what it is if they hit you back. Dory mouthed Xena's knee and looked up at her from under dark lashes. Xena sighed. Am I a sucker for a cute face or what? She sat down and picked Dory up, cradling her in her arms and rocking her back and forth. What do you want to play, Dory? Dory was giggling, enjoying the swinging. She kicked her arms and legs out, smacking Xena's chest with her doll.
We go fly!
She begged, curling up and tucking her fists under her chin. Figures. Xena stood and took two steps and launched herself into a flip, then reversed into a back somersault, accompanied by squeals of pure toddler joy.
Gabrielle!
Halfway across the courtyard, Gabrielle stopped on hearing a name and turned to see Jocelyn hurrying to catch her. Pang of guilt hit her in the gut as she belatedly remembered all the things she was supposed to have been doing that day, and she squared her shoulders as the town reeve closed in on her.
Hi, Joss.
The older man studied her for a moment.
We missed you today.
Gabrielle thought a moment before she answered. What excuse did she really have? Really? That she wanted to spend the day with her daughter and her partner? Did she even have a valid reason for just running out on everyone?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, she murmured. I should have sent word back here.
Jocelyn hesitated, taken aback by the ready apology.
Well,
he patted her arm awkwardly.
I know things do come up after all.
A pause.
Is everything all right?
Loaded question.
Oh, sure.
Gabrielle smiled a bit.
We just...
decided to spend the night sleeping under the stars for old time's sake.
Needed a break, I guess. Xena wanted some time out.
Jocelyn nodded.
Been a busy season for all of us, after all. But those merchants were pretty upset when we had to cancel the meeting this morning.
A gust of wind sent a shiver up Gabrielle's back, its cool touch chilling her sunburned skin. She was physically tired out, and her temper suddenly surged.
They'll live,
she heard the edge to her voice.
We can just reschedule the meeting. They have more to lose than we do if they don't show up.
The reeve turned and started to walk her towards the inn.
Well, now that... I know that, Gabrielle, but the point is...
The point is...
Gabrielle stopped and faced him.
My family needed me to do something, and I did it. And it's always going to be the way, Josks. I thought we talked about this when I agreed to start helping you out again.
Jock paused and looked at her.
We did, I mean, but I thought you understood.
Gabrielle took him by the shoulders and looked intently into his eyes.
I understand that Xena asked, and I gave, and Amphipolis will always take second place to that.
She spoke clearly, aware of the stares of several passing people.
Do you get me?
He sighed.
I do understand, Gabrielle.
Joss admitted.
I just wanted what's best for the town. And sometimes that means I have to put the group's needs before the individual's.
Well, that doesn't work for me,
the bard stated flatly. She turned and walked away, mounting the steps and pushing open the door to the inn, leaving a stunned Joss behind her. The crowd called out to her as she entered, but Gabrielle continued on through the inn and into the kitchen, releasing a small sigh of relief as the swinging door closed behind her. Thankfully, Cyrene was alone in the room, and she turned as the bard entered, giving her a warm swell of greeting.
Hi there, cutie.
Hi.
Gabrielle ran a hand through her hair.
You going to yell at me, too?
Cyrene stared at her, then put down the spoon she was mixing with and walked over to where Gabrielle was standing.
Honey, why would I yell at you?
She asked in a concerned tone.
Are you all right?
The innkeeper guided her daughter-in-law to a bench at the large kitchen table and sat down beside her.
Yeah.
Gabrielle selected a pear from the bowl on the table and nibbled it.
Sorry, she went on. Justin just caught me outside, and I lost it a little.
Sirene produced a noise somewhere between a sneeze and a curse.
Stupid fool! I told him to let you two be,
she scowled.
That's the whole trouble with both giving so much of yourselves to this place. Everyone gets to be expecting it.
She examined Gabrielle.
Got some sun, did you?
The bard nodded.
Have a good time?
Sirene asked, gently. Another nod.
Yeah,
Gabrielle admitted.
I don't know, Mom. It seems so silly when I think about it, much less if I tried to explain to anyone. But we...
She fell thoughtfully silent.
We both love it here, but every once in a while, just something.
Her mind flipped to the long, long afternoon, spent in total immersion in each other and their daughter.
I don't know.
She hesitated.
Sometimes I think we just went through too much, and all this normality is hard to absorb.
Sirene looked dismayed.
Honey, I thought...
She paused, then started again.
It's been a good year.
She put an arm across Gabrielle's shoulders.
I can't tell you how happy it's been, Mamie, to have you both here, and see you at peace, and raising my rapscallion granddaughter.
Gabrielle bit into the pear, wearing off a piece of the fruit and chewing it. It gave her a moment to think about what Sirene had said, and she felt herself relaxing a little.
You're right,
she smiled gently.
It has been a great year, and I've loved being here, watching Dory grow, just being able to have a consistent, normal life with Xena.
A small silence fell.
But?
Sirene asked quietly. Gabrielle stared off the kitchen, trying to find words to articulate an emotion she scarcely understood herself.
Sometimes I wonder if it's enough,
she stated softly.
If it's enough that we're just living our lives, helping our families and friends, not out there doing more.
Haven't you done enough of that? Good God, Gabrielle!
Sirene protested.
How much more can you give of yourselves, of your lives, just to...
Here she stopped.
Just to atone for Xena's past?
Gabrielle continued the thought with a faint smile.
I don't know.
She fingered the pear.
But what I'm afraid of is that Xena's made the choice to trade a redemption in for us, for Dory and I, to keep us safe.
Sirene stayed quiet for a moment, obviously collecting her thoughts.
Well,
she murmured.
Honey.
Gabrielle curled a finger around Sirene's and squeezed her hand.
That question has no good answer, she admitted, because neither of us know the future, and we can't tell what's going to happen. Xena faced with risking our lives for a forgiveness she'll never allow herself, or risking our eternities in some place so dark it makes this life seem like a picnic.
A pause.
Because she knows whatever her fate is, I'll share it, and she knows that. Even if it's 1,000 years in Tartarus? Even if,
Gabrielle answered evenly.
Especially if, because she'll need me more there than in the fields.
Sirene stood up and walked over to the oven, picking up her spoon and stirring whatever it was in the pot. She kept her back turned to Gabrielle, but the bard knew it wasn't from anger. Gabrielle continued to eat a pear, feeling oddly better just for having articulated what she was feeling to her mother-in-law.
I've accepted that,
she commented.
The problem is, Xena feels she can't let me accept it.
Sirene turned and wiped the back of her hand across her eyes impatiently.
Probably because she thinks she doesn't deserve what you're offering to do for her.
True.
Yeah, maybe,
Gabrielle sighed, regretting the sudden descent into morbid seriousness.
Anyway, I came over to tell you we were going to clean up, then probably be over for dinner. I got a little sidetracked, I guess.
Sirene looked like she was about to protest, but after a moment of studying the bard's tired features, she merely exhaled and shook her head.
Okay, sweetie,
she murmured.
We'll be glad to see you. Looks like y'all had a good time.
That brought a smile to Gabrielle's face at last.
We did,
she agreed.
I even managed to win a swim race out of a dozen, which ups my previous score of 0 to 1.
The bard stood up and stretched out some very sore muscles.
Mind if I steal this fruit basket and take it back with me? I see some plums I know a certain buddy of mine loves.
Cyrene forced a smile.
Go on. I know she likes them.
She nudged the basket towards Gabrielle and watched as bard lifted the handle and slug it over her arm.
Tell her I've got lamb roast for dinner, okay?
Okay, Gabrielle smiled.
See you in a bit.
She turned and escaped out the back door. Letting it shut behind her, she disappeared into the crimson sunset light.
Where's the baby?
Zena called out, diving for the floor and pressing her body against it. She heard a giggle, then spotted small hands and knees crawling behind the bed.
Dory! Dory! Dory, where are you?
An impish face peeked out from under the bed.
Boo, no catch!
Oh, yeah?
Zena squirmed along the wood floor in a sinuous wave, circling the bedpost with unlikely speed, reaching out as she cleared the last one to grasp a small retreating foot.
Gotcha!
Dory tugged on her foot.
Bad boo!
She rolled over and sat down, fiercely pulling on her leg to free it from Zena's tenacious grip. The warrior propped her head up on one hand while she held onto her prize, tickling Dory's soul with a long finger.
That'll teach you to run away from me, huh, Shorty?
She laughed as Dory gave up, pulling and crawled over to her, tangling her fingers in Zena's hair, and pulling on that instead.
Hey!
Boo, come!
Dory stated imperiously.
Damn.
Zena caught the tiny hand and untangled it, but had to release Dory's foot to do so. With a victorious squeal, Dory scrambled away, squirming under the bed where she knew Zena could not follow her.
Hey! Zena repeated. You little stinker!
A giggle.
All right.
Zena edged forward, squeezing her broad shoulders under the bed surface.
You just wait, Doriana. I'm going to set the dust bunnies after you.
She crawled further and then lunged as Dory crawled away, catching her with her outstretched fingers and clamping on. Then she realized she was stuck.
Dory, she sighed, get over here.
The baby complied, inching over and coming nose to nose with her.
Boo?
She gave her parent a sloppy kiss on the nose.
Good.
No, Boo's stuck,
Zena informed her daughter.
Now listen, I want you to crawl out of here, because I got to move this thing, and I don't want you to get hurt. Okay?
Okay.
Dory agreed, not moving an inch.
Move?
Zena repeated.
Boo?
Dory started playing with her beloved playmate's hair. Zena let her forehead rest on the wood floor.
Dory, I really need you to get out from under here.
Go fly.
Dory whispered in Zena's ear.
Boo, go fly and catch your sheath.
No, we can't, Zena replied. Not unless you go out of the way.
She pointed a finger. Dory grabbed it and amiably and pulled.
No, huh?
No,
Dory confirmed, curling up and putting her head down on Zena's forearm.
Love my bull.
She mouthed the tan skin, drooling happily all over her parent.
You know something?
Zena rolled her head to one side and regarded her offspring. You're just like your mom.
Mama?
Dory burbled.
Never make it easy.
Zena stilled her body, then gathered her strength and pressed upward, lifting the huge bed as she extended her arms. Dory watched in amazement, reaching up towards the now fairly far off bottom of the bed with one hand.
Ready?
Back!
It was all really in body control. Zena heaved upward, clearing the bed off her shoulders, and at the same time, twisting and snatching Dory, while she arched back and rolled out of the way as the bed slammed down with a distinct crash. She ended on her back with Dory sitting on her belly, green eyes wide in amazement.
Hi there.
Zena crossed her ankles, glad to be out of the tight spot. What brings a cute little girl like you to a place like this? Dory pointed at her.
Boo!
She bounced up and down.
Boo, 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 boo!
Zena chuckled and tickled her belly.
That's me.
She gazed fondly at the child, studying the round face and sparkling green eyes.
Want to play clap with me?
She held up a hand invitingly. Dory squiggled forward, patted Xena's palm with her own. Atta girl. They both laughed. Gabrielle wandered through the courtyard, deep in thought, as she dodged other residents with automatic skill, responding to their greetings absently. The argument with Jocelyn troubled her, and she wondered if she wouldn't seek him out and try to smooth things over. Not that she felt she was wrong in her views, exactly, but she knew Josh only had the good of the town in mind. Didn't he? Well, Gabrielle squared her shoulders. She had the good of the town in mind also, because it was tied up with the good of her partner, its protector and defender. Xena was her responsibility, and that responsibility took precedence. The bard slowed her steps as she approached their home and mounted the stairs. A low, vibrant voice distracted her. She went to the window, peering inside to see her soulmate flat on her back on the floor, with Dory perched on top of her, playing patty cake with childish glee. Xena's face. Gabrielle felt a smile forming on her own as she watched the look of unbridled joy on her partner's expressive visage. The blue eyes glinted with warm highlights, and a playful grin shaped her lips as she played with Dory, matching the baby's clumsy patch with her own. Maybe she was right, and maybe Xena had chosen this route, regardless of its ending consequences. But watching her partner and their daughter at play was so priceless, Gabrielle could understand at a gut level a truth both bittersweet and inevitable. She would rather risk her future for the happiness she saw in those blue eyes, and never regret a moment of it. If it meant she endured Tartarus at her side, well then, she would. Gabrielle leaned her chin on her hand and she watched the play, glad of the rare chance to observe her soulmate, unaware. Dory decided a patty cake was too tame for her, so she gurgled and launched herself at Xena's face, squealing and throwing her arms around the warrior's neck as her feet drummed against Xena's chest. Arms that could break a man's back closed over the child and squeezed her with tender gentleness as Xena murmured something into Dory's ear and chuckled. Then the pale eyes lifted and caught Gabrielle's, still warm and full of love that only deepened as she took her soulmate's face. No, Gabrielle smiled back at her and waggled her fingers in greeting. Never regret a moment.
What are you two up to on that hard floor?
She asked.
Good grief, see? Can't you at least go sit on the bearskin?
Eh, the warrior sat up, then launched herself to her feet with a powerful flip while still holding Dory in her arms. Dory and I were exploring under the bed.
Ah.
Gabrielle decided to forego the door and climbed in the window instead, carrying her basket of fruit with her.
Is that where...
She plucked a feather from Xena's dark locks and held it up.
This came from? Mama!
Dory clutched after the feather.
Mine! Go make box!
No, honey, it's not a quill.
Gabrielle laughed.
Here, give me her. She's covered in dust balls, Xena. What on earth were you two doing?
She handed over her basket and took Dory, plucking the debris off the child's play suit.
Were you chasing dust bunnies, Dory?
Sort of. Xena put the fruit down on the table. We were playing hide-and-seek. She chose to hide under the bed. I had to go drag her out. Gabrielle eyed the bed, then tilted her head sideways to study the space.
You got under there?
She asked in an incredulous tone.
Amazing.
She took Dory over to the linen press to retrieve a fresh play suit.
Mom made lamb stew for dinner. She wanted me to make sure you knew that.
Xena chuckled as she dusted herself off. Well, how about I go over and get some, and we can have dinner here? I'm not really in the mood for all the noise in there.
Gabrielle glanced at her, a touch surprised. Okay, sure.
She finished changing Dory and put the toddler down, watching her make a beeline for her neglected doll lying on the rug.
It's been a pretty long day. I'd have thought you'd have enough of us just for a while.
She smiled as she said it, taking any sting out of the words. Never. Xena came up behind her and ruffled her fingers through the bard's pale hair, letting her fingers slide through the soft strands and begin a gentle massage. Gabrielle dropped her head forward, allowing the soft sound of pleasure to emerge from her throat. Got a couple of knots there.
I know.
Gabrielle mumbled, abandoning herself to the strong fingers. The thought of spending a quiet evening in the cabinet was sounding better every moment. Now that she considered it, maybe she'd get some work done on her poetry, in fact. Teeth nibbled casually on her earlobe, sending a jolt of sensation straight to her guts. Then again, maybe not.
I think I have knots all over.
Guess we'll have to fix that. A low rumble tickled her ear. Still want to go to the inn? Gabrielle turned her head and met the soft lips nibbling on her jawline.
You're kidding, right?
She gazed up into the dark blue eyes.
Want me to start warming up the bath?
Her answer was a very sexy grin. Gabrielle slipped through the now thinning woods around the town, letting the rich summer green leaves brush against her body. It was dark, and the night sounds tickled her ears as she prowled through the underbrush, following a sweet, almost intoxicating scent.
Ah.
She rounded a large gnarled tree and found what she was looking for, a large cluster of silky white gardenias that released a gorgeous bouquet into the air. She gathered them up into a light whisker basket on her arm, leaning over to get the prettiest one she could find. Why Zena wanted them, she had no idea. Scented bath water, maybe, since the warrior had been setting buckets by the fire to warm, or just to put in a bowl in the cabin near the shared mirror. With her head near the ground level, she glanced over and spotted something else, which caused a grin to appear. On the next bush, somehow forgotten by the town's conscientious gatherers, were heavy clusters of blackberries.
Oh, boy.
Gabrielle made room in her basket and scuttled over to the hedge, carefully collecting the berries and only stealing a handful for herself as she did so.
Mmm.
She munched in delight as she settled the basket on her arm and straightened, dodging around the thorny bush and headed back toward the path in town. On the way, she passed a familiar brook, where once upon a time she'd walked knowingly into a trap, and if she traveled up the less beaten path just to her right, it would take her to Zena's hidden dell, where they loved to spend the hottest part of the day, and where she'd walk unknowingly into a trap that turned out to be her last adventure with Solon. Gabrielle tensed her lips a bit as she sidestepped a rock. It still hurt, thinking of that. Thinking of Solon, a boy she'd taken into her heart and soul, and started to think of as a child of hers as well as of Zena's. He'd been so brave, and so very much like her soulmate, and they'd come so close to being a family together. The bard exhaled and allowed the memory to slide past her. It was one of the things in her life she knew she'd always live with, and one of the things she knew she could never forgive herself for. It had given her more profound understanding of how Zena felt, and one day she and Zena had talked about it, and Zena had told her if she didn't hurt when she thought about it, she'd be really worried about her. It made sense, and it had helped Gabrielle to come to terms, at last, with a very sad and very dark part of her life. An owl hooted softly, and she paused, looking up at the branch over her head, seeing its large, fluffy outline against the moonlight.
"Hi there,"
she greeted the bird, an old friend of theirs. The owl blinked at her and shifted sideways along the branch, raising its vicious and clawed feet one at a time to move over.
"Ooh! Want a berry?"
Gabrielle offered, holding one up. The owl looked suspiciously at her, then rattled its feathers and sunk down into a huff.
"No? Oh, that's right. You like bugs, don't you?"
The bard made a face.
"You can keep them. I'll take the berries."
She popped the treat into her mouth and continued on up the stairs, the wooden surface echoing her footsteps as she crossed the porch. The door opened as she reached it, and a gust of fragrant air blew out, full of stew and fresh bread and the crisp green scent of spinach. Amazing. She finally found a vegetable that Zena would eat willingly, and of course, it turned out to be the one she wasn't that fond of. Then she glanced up at Zena and forgot all about the spinach. The warrior had found somewhere a very sheer piece of fabric and fashioned it into a wrap that was just barely modest. Her skin held the scent of their bath soap, and Gabrielle felt like she was being immersed in a bath of sensuality herself as her partner took the basket from her and hooked the finger in the neck of her shirt, pulling her forward. "Figured you went all the way to Potidaea for those flowers," Zena remarked. "I was about to come looking for you."
"Like that?"
Gabrielle lifted a hand and let her fingers trail down the filmy fabric, stroking the powered body beneath it. Her eyes lifted to Zena's.
"You're gorgeous. You know that?"
It earned her a pleased smile. "Glad you think so." Zena tugged her slowly across the floor, setting the basket down. "Now it's your turn."
"My turn?"
Zena indicated a tiny piece of silk draped over the back of the chair. "Your turn." Gabrielle looked at the bitty thing, then at Zena, and wondered at why, since she saw Zena naked all the time, The sight of her dressed in a light lace covering was overwhelming her with a sense of sensual delight.
Okay.
The warrior grinned rakishly at her. Bath first. She continued through the cabin, past Dory's crib, where the child was already asleep, toward the bathing room. Gabrielle followed in a dreamy haze, her eyes taking in the candlelit space and the gently steaming water.
So, what did I do to deserve all this?
She murmured. Zena began unfastening the laces that held Gabrielle's shirt closed. Well, for starters, you were born. She untied the first lace and went on to the second, exposing the bard's collarbone. Then you grew up and picked up a wild, half-baked ex-warlord to go chase after. She continued the third tie, pulling the lace free while Gabrielle started exploring the folds of cloth covering Zena's body. And after I let you catch me.
Let me?
Gabrielle felt the belt at her tunic release and the warm air brush across her bare skin.
Why do I sense some revisionist history here?
She nibbled her lower lip and gazed up at her soulmate. After I let you catch me. Zena repeated blithely, sliding the tunic off and tossing it to the corner. For some reason you stayed around.
For some reason?
Gabrielle lifted her hand and laid it along Zena's plain cheekbone.
Honey, I fell in love with you the moment I saw you, and you would have had to sell me to a pirate going across the Aegean to get rid of me, and you know it.
Yeah, I know it. Zena tilted her head and kissed the bard's waiting lips with deep and passionate sincerity. Still amazes me. It was always surprising. Gabrielle relaxed as Zena slipped her arms around her and lifted her up, swinging her over the edge of the tub to lure her into the warm bath water. She knew Zena was strong, and very few people knew that better than she did. But even though she knew, experiencing the power that resided in her partner's tall body still always gave her a little tingle of wonder. Only for a moment, though, until the bath claimed her, and Zena's hands went from supportive to teasing as she took their sponge and started cleaning Gabrielle's skin. The slightly rough surface of the sponge left behind a pleasant feeling, and she tipped her head back as Zena scrubbed under her chin.
I could probably do this myself, she commented softly.
Do you want to? Zena inquired, watching the green eyes flutter close at her touch.
No,
Gabrielle admitted.
You bring out my most hedonistic impulses.
She leaned into the pressure. Thanks, I think. The warrior chuckled softly as she scrubbed in tiny circles down the bard's back and down her spine. Gabrielle straightened and lifted herself up as she did so, nibbling at Zena's neck with curious, warm, damp lips. Hungry?
Yes,
Gabrielle whispered into her ear.
For you.
Zena's nape hairs prickled at pure reaction. Gabrielle didn't articulate her earlier thoughts with that precision often, but the warrior always loved when she did. Nice to hear. She growled back. 'Cause the feeling's mutual.
Good.
Gabrielle wrapped her arms around Zena's neck and tugged fiercely, as though she could pull the taller woman over the edge of the tub and into the water with her. Much to her surprise, that's exactly what happened, and the wooden basin was suddenly filled with both of them as water sloshed over the side and went everywhere. She almost laughed, but just then Zena's lips found hers, and a touch circled her breast, and the entire river Styx could have been pouring into the window, and she'd never have noticed. Her fingers brushed against the now drenched fabric Zena was wearing, and she impatiently pulled at it, tearing it loose across Zena's shoulder, and pushing it away as their bodies intertwined. Zena's skin definitely felt even better than a sea sponge. She slid her hands down her partner's side, tracing lazy circles across Zena's chest as her ribs expanded sharply. Then she was cradled as the room spun, and she found herself settling on top of Zena's now submerged form, their legs tangling together.
Oh,
she murmured against the lips exploring hers.
That was fun.
Want to make sure you don't drown? Zena chuckled wickedly.
Drown?
Gabrielle inhaled, uttering a soft groan, as Zena's hand eased up the surface of her inner thigh.
Too late.
Her whole body was tingling now, responding to the relentless stroking of hands whose owner knew her better than she knew herself. A deep shiver ran through her at a more intimate touch, and she just wondered, just for an instant, just how long Zina could really hold her breath.
You know,
Gabrielle exhaled in contentment as Zina tucked a fold of the soft woolen blanket around her shoulder.
We should do this more often.
She and her partner were both quite naked, very clean, and completely entangled in front of each other in front of a small fire in the fireplace. They were sharing a large bowl of stew, a smaller one of spinach, and a loaf of very fresh bread and honey butter between them. Zina settled back and slid an arm around the bard's waist, resuming her comfortable position behind her. She accepted a forkful of warm stew and chewed it, swallowing it before she entered. Nah. Gabrielle turned her head and peered up at her.
Huh?
That would make it less special, the warrior explained, picking up a slice of bread and offering it to the bard's lips. The room was lit with a warm candlelight, and she made a comfortable nest of pillows and furs next to the fire for them to cuddle in. The fire wasn't really necessary, since it was just presently cool outside, but something in Zina liked to snap the flames, and always had. Besides, Gabrielle was roasting apples in it, which were emitting a savory, sweet fragrance of nutmeg and honey into the air. Zina sniffed appreciatively, and decided her plan had worked out to perfection. It was a gorgeous night. They were both relaxed and sated. They had good food and a nice skin of wine. There were apples roasting. Perfect. Zina closed her eyes and gave Gabrielle a little squeeze, smiling as she heard the bard utter a soft grunt. Who needs Alicia? She doubted it could ever equal this. She had every intention of soaking up every moment of mortal joy her life afforded to her, because chances anything that came after this wasn't going to be this good. What she had here, right now, was everything. Life, love, a family, a community. Everything she'd thrown away when she walked out that darn path so many years before, and thought she believed she really didn't deserve most of it. She wasn't about to throw any of it away.
Hey there.
Gabrielle ran a finger along Zina's jawline.
Dinner for your thoughts.
Zina captured the hand and clasped it, then lifted it up to her lips and kissed the bard's knuckles. You're worth more than a dinar. Gabrielle's eyes brightened at the compliment. Then she grinned wryly.
Bet Joss doesn't think so. I got yelled at today when we got back.
One dark eyebrow lifted expressively.
I had a meeting with the Merchant's Guild today,
the bard admitted. Zina's other eyebrow lifted. You could have said something. She frowned. Gabrielle nodded thoughtfully.
Yeah, I could have, but I decided not to,
she replied.
I wanted the time out as much as you did, and it was worth it to me to blow them off.
She offered Zina a rolled spinach leaf, watching bemusement as her soulmate munched on it.
You really like that?
The warrior nodded, opening her mouth for another leaf. She chewed on it lazily as they gazed at each other. Josh really give you a hard time? Gabriel used a mouthful of bread and stew to give herself a moment to consider the question.
He was mad. Yeah.
She dipped her bread into the fragrant bowl and bit off another piece.
But, I mean, what can he do? Relieve me of the position? He's the one who came and begged me to take it back in the first place.
She selected a large chunk of lamb and offered it to Zina, who accepted it with a flash of white teeth.
Sometimes I think everyone just forgets. We've been here so long. People take it for granted that we'll just do things like everyone else will.
Zina chewed thoughtfully and responded with a tiny grin of agreement. If he gives you any grief, tell him you'll quit and come and be my lieutenant, she decided. Help me knock these farm boys into shape. Gabrielle smiled her full smile.
I like that idea. Then I could wear some of those snazzy tunics that match my tattoo.
She indicated the hawk's head pattern on her shoulder.
And walk around telling all your soldier stories about you. Yeah.
Oof! She suddenly had to deal with a mouthful of spinach, which she hurriedly chewed and swallowed.
No, huh?
Zina kissed her. There are really no stories about me. That's why I've got so many of them coming around here. She reminded her partner, as she was offered another piece of lamb. Besides, aren't you out of stories already? Gabrielle returned the kiss with loving intensity. Then she untangled herself from her partner and stood, her sturdy form outlined in firelight, as she picked up the platter and moved towards the hearth.
No.
She knelt, aware of the eyes on her, and removed two large apples, their center stuffed with nuts and drizzled in honey.
I just started a new one, as a matter of fact.
She straightened and turned, meeting the pale blue eyes.
I'm getting a chance to go back and finish some of the older ones I started.
Zena held the blanket open as Gabrielle returned and settled back down into their nest.
Older ones?
The bard dug a spoonful of the fragrant apple up and sped it to the patient waiting warrior.
It's a lighter piece.
A wince.
Not that solstice thing.
Gabrielle chuckled wickedly.
Gabrielle?
Another spoonful followed the first.
It's a cute story. I'm sure you'll love it when I'm done. Or at least Dory will.
Gabrielle teased. Zena gave her a long-suffering look, which was somewhat ruined by the pink tongue that flicked out to clean her lips of honey. She imagined a series of equally cute stories, drawn on the somewhat lighter adventures they sometime had encountered, and winced. Maybe she'd have to do something to give Gabrielle something new to write about. To be continued.
Well, that concludes this week's episode, the 36th episode of XNU. And that is part two of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Please check out our website at www.merwolf.com/fanfiction, or just check on her site and click on her fanfiction button. And get to read all her stories if you can before this one and after this one, because they're really good stories. I found I thoroughly enjoyed them the very first time I read them, and I went back and read them again because they were just addictive. So, but if anyone has any suggestions for either a song or a movie or book review that they'd like to recommend, please go ahead and send them in. I do have a few song suggestions that I'm going to be putting on the next podcast. So if you want to give a shout out and recommend a song or dedicate a song to someone, I'll take those on. I'll dedicate a song out for someone if you want me to. I will be making announcements here and there for people who email me with their announcements they'd like to announce, like weddings and things like that. So I'll start taking those on if you want to go ahead and send them in. If you have any suggestions to this show, go ahead and send them in as well. I am working currently on the competition. I'm gathering up some questions and things. It's going to be a competition of questions. So it's going to require you to get on the internet and, you know, do some research and also maybe look up a mythology or, you know, Greek history and things like that. So that's just the information I'm going to give you for right now until I work out all the details. So that takes care of this episode. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye. So long,
telling my heart I didn't need you, pretending I was better off alone. But I know that it's just a lie. So afraid to take a chance again. So afraid of what I feel inside.